bookmarked my list.
We're starting recording.
There we go.
I want people to hear in on the disappointment. Kavya sitting and pouting now. He just pulled his hat
out.
He did not get back before Benjamin, according to my my side of the screen. So we have this game going on, right? Who gets back into the recording studio first? And we have noticed that there are some discrepancies on the information displayed on each individual's computer. So the rule was set that it's going to be whatever I see. Whoever I see pass the health check to get into the green room first is the winner. So, but I understand. I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to, like,
You change the outcome by measuring it. It's just, it's basic quantum mechanics. Come on, guys.
It's because I'm looking at it. That's true, right? Yeah.
We need to settle this like gentlemen. Put a microphone in the middle of the field. You stand on one end and I stand on the other and we charge for it.
How about you guys start walking right now so you can find each other somewhere in the middle of the world? And he leaves the room. This is the Neon episode, which nothing we're going to really talk about has anything to do with Neon. Let us celebrate this second segment. Let's start with celebrating Dart and our wonderful guest, Joan, who was on the last episode that played, but not the last one you have heard. Anyway, it gets confusing now to me.
It makes sense.
You know, like a couple episodes ago. Congratulations to Dart and Joan and how excited they were to basically watch their own spacecraft demise. But yeah, way to go. Congratulations.
Bye, spacecraft. Kabloosh.
Kabloosh. But that was really exciting.
It's so funny. Like every time I feel like I'm watching any other NASA stream or a SpaceX stream. So it's like, okay, we've passed the launch and it hasn't exploded. We passed Max-Q and it hasn't exploded. And here it's the opposite. It's like, has it? Yay, it exploded.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, end of signal. Woo! I definitely teared up though. I like the last 10 seconds as you got close, done. I mean, even my kids were watching it with me and they were like, whoa, mom, look how bumpy it is. And I was like, just so moved by, I don't know, just seeing that up close, even though it's, you know, space rocks clumped together. It's just amazing. It was so amazing. Did you guys get to watch it live or did you see just a replay later?
I watched it 10 minutes late, but yes.
You must have been stuck in the green.
But I didn't just so I can be in the moment. It was 10 minutes late. I made sure to start the broadcast, you know, 15 minutes previous to impact so I can watch the whole thing and listen to all the commentary and watch all the your friend Dr. Z and everyone else in the room going bananas and hugging and kissing because they literally destroyed something very expensive for everyone to see. And it was awesome.
It was.
I had the same feeling that you did, Sarah. And it's just so strange because I was watching it live and like, at first, all you see is a dot, and then you can differentiate two dots, right? You know, both the asteroids in the system. And there's something weird about it going from this abstract idea of like, yeah, it's an asteroid, it's a space rock, to like getting closer and closer and being able to clearly see with like the better and better resolution, like all the little ripples and imperfections and tiny space rocks and Bruce Willis sitting there in the corner. Like you're seeing it all, and it's just, it's so real.
Yeah. Well, and actually, so my breath got taken away twice. Actually, the first one was when I turned on that live stream when it started and they showed that little dot at first. And it just was like, oh my God, it's real. Like, you're really. And then I had a moment in the middle where I was like, it's going to impact in 3 minutes. How is it going to get there in 3 minutes? Like, it seems so far away still. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, and I don't know. Yeah. There's just something about that loss of signal and the reality of what had happened. It just hit me and I started crying and, you know, I don't know. This is what I do. I cry over everything, but there's something about space missions too, that just really, they really move me. Cause it just, to me, it marks the epitome of human achievement. That we sent something out there to prove something and we destroyed it. Like we did what we set out to do in such a huge, magnificent way. There's just nothing to me that seems quite as romantic and adventurous as space exploration.
What I loved was it was hitting the smaller, it was hitting Didymos, which is orbiting Deimos?
Dimorphos.
Yeah. Anyway, what I liked it, what I loved is we passed Dimorphos, or at least it went out of frame as we were getting closer and closer to Didymos, mm-hmm. which was so incredible. It gave the, it was literally flying through an orbital system. Yeah. So it kind of, in sci-fi movies, you always see they're flying towards a planet or something, and they're passing a bunch of other planets and moons as they get closer and closer to it. In science fiction movies, it's wonderful. But this actually happened. We flew past a celestial body and went to its moon and smacked it really, 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 really hard. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. I think no, that is also
naughty little moon.
Yeah. And Kavi shared a fantastic meme beforehand where he's got a stick figure and its face is NASA's logo. And then he said what NASA's doing, and he's just holding the rock and the spacecraft with two other stick figures. They say, no kiss. that went pretty viral on Twitter.
Yeah, it did. It spread pretty well.
That was so cool. Honestly, it's just incredulous to me that I can spend 5 minutes just procrastinating and making a meme like that, and it gets picked up, and then I can spend 5 hours preparing intelligent content and nothing happens. But what I really loved more than the number of likes and shares was the fact that I know that the DART engineers at NASA saw that meme and had a good chuckle. Makes my day.
They did.
Oh, it's so good. So speaking of flybys, another flyby that we already mentioned, but is that Juno flew past Jupiter's moon Europa, which was the first visit since, I guess, 2000. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been Galileo. 22 years since we've taken a good look at that moon. And I would say that cameras have improved significantly in 22 years because based on the pictures we're getting, it's just, I mean, my speaking of Twitter, my Twitter cover photo is already that moon now. I was so excited. But it's definitely one of the, most interesting moons that we are targeting for exploration, Europa and Enceladus, because they're both icy moons and they're very, very interesting for astrobiology, which is a ever increasingly top priority in missions for NASA, which is kind of in that uncrewed world that people just don't, it doesn't have that human element. So it's not quite as to the general public, but for most of us, for science exploration, that flyby was a great kind of scoping mission for the next thing that's going to go after it. These are so important. And so we wanted to give a little love to those lesser loved missions. And so what is Juno's ultimate purpose? Do either of you know? I can't remember what it was, what its whole mission objective is.
I think it's just studying Jupiter and the entire Jupiter system. They want to get close to a couple of the moons, Ganymede and Europa being the primaries.
Right.
And Io is awesome, but as far as landing stuff on Io, it's just going to get destroyed because it's just this big molten thing. But Europa is number one, just like you said, Europa and Enceladus, because they're water worlds, icy water worlds, and Ganymede because it's just massive and it's very, planet-like in itself. It's huge compared to our moon. It's just this big, wonderful place that we could do lots of exploration. And then, of course, just studying Jupiter, getting closer to its atmosphere and studying its composition and its magnetosphere and all sorts of stuff like that. So Jupiter, you can't list the things you need to study at Jupiter because it's just so much.
Yeah, it's a very cool and interesting planet. And I'm giving a look ahead now to what Juno is helping. And I know of this mission, but it's going to be very valuable for the Clipper mission, which is going to launch in 2024, which is essentially going to try to, as I've heard it described as, taste some of these plumes of water that are getting sprayed up into space, because they have noted plumes coming out multiple times out of Europa and Enceladus, and or I think mainly Europa, but Io wasn't, didn't Voyager detect the first volcanism on another celestial body that wasn't Earth from Voyager passing Io and then seeing that plume coming out? I'm almost positive that that was the first, like, oh my gosh, something is shooting out from something else. But it's super cool. Go ahead.
No, I was just like following on what you were both saying. You know, we often kind of compare in our minds, okay, so, you know, we have a moon, the moon, and there are all these other moons that you see on, you know, around Jupiter, Saturn, other planets. Like Jupiter has like 80. And people, at first, you don't really realize how different they are. So like Europa is just smaller than our moon, but structurally it's totally different. And like one of the first things that you can notice when you look at these images of Europa is that it's a flat surface covered in these kind of straight track mark lines, similar to what you see in ice shelves in Greenland. And there are no, or almost no, craters, which is more or less all you see when you look at the surface of our moon. And the main reason for that is that our moon has basically been bombarded over millions of years by all these asteroids and meteorites and, you know, have flying rocks coming through space to, you know, smack the moon, or maybe, you know, dart missions or similar type things from aliens, who knows. So the reason why all these craters stay on the moon is because the moon is completely inactive in terms of its tectonic activity and anything happening under the surface. Whereas moons like Europa have, or so we believe, this very dynamic watery surface, or watery subsurface, I should say, under the outer icy surface. And so things are constantly changing. So there's so much room to learn and study how these bodies work and what the chemistry and what the dynamics are under the surface. And like, it's mind-blowing to me that you have to stop and say, okay, our moon is basically a big rock, and those moons are basically tiny planets.
Right. Right. They could have life. We don't know. Which is, rounding back to the theme of this episode, why these uncrewed missions and arguably smaller, less important missions are actually incredibly exciting and incredibly important and definitely worth paying attention to. I was going to make a comment about some of the other missions, but I think that I'm going to save some of my thoughts about what is upcoming for our third segment, because I have a couple of missions that I'm very excited about that are coming up that will be launching in the future that I'd love us to talk about. So as my mind is wandering through these, I keep realizing that, you know, I mentioned that most of these are geared around astrobiology, but they really are. Like, I don't think, other than sending people to the moon, there's really no missions that are coming up that don't focus around, at least to some degree, looking at organics off the top of my head, or looking at these interesting places that could have organics. I mean, unless I'm missing something that might be flying out way out there past like Neptune or something, I can't think of anything really off the top of my head that isn't kind of targeting that.
There might be something to do with heliophysics, with you know, studying the sun. But I think you're right. Most of them are all focused on the ways that we can either sample or learn about the chemistry and biology of other worlds.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. obviously that's what I love, so I'm excited about it. But I can't think of anything else right now that's like, you know, we're going to fling past the really outer stuff and then just keep going. It's all very focused on things that we can look at here and perhaps possibly like sample returns. So, all right, well, let's take a break. I will talk then about some of the things that I'm looking forward to. And I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on missions that you are looking forward to. They're all astrobiology. Again, I'm a little tired. I think I should have had some coffee for this episode. So please hang in there. We're going to have one more break, and then we're going to keep talking about these uncrewed missions, the unsung heroes of NASA and space exploration. It's not all about the people climbing in the capsules. Sometimes it's about these other, or even a rover. I feel like the rovers have just as much clout as like a person going to space. It's like we're focusing on the ones that don't have those big, awesome things. Although one I'm thinking of kind of does. But anyway, we're going to talk about that. You are listening to the Space K Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on IROC Space Radio.